KSRO Kitchen. Welcome to one and all those lovers of good food. I'm Steve Garner, along with Chef John Esch, celebrating our 30th year in the radio station, in the KSRO Kitchen. How did your class, didn't you do a class on Thursday night down in Novato?
I did. It was a class and a dinner for Homeward Bound Marin, which is the largest kind of homeless shelter and organization in Marin County, maybe the largest in the Bay Area. They have 16 different facilities that they have for both individual homeless and homeless families and all of that stuff. It's really quite. And so they do this once a month down there, these kind of chef deals. You know, you come.
Because they have a culinary program.
Yeah, and they have a culinary training program and a beautiful kitchen that they built a while back. And it was great. It was sold out, so it was a lot of fun.
And everything met with your approval?
It did. I mean, it's always one of those things you think, oh, I don't know. Because, you know, I can't
they're
do
students,
it
and you can't
well,
do it
they're students,
all.
Yeah. But they did great. They did really wonderful. And they're all recipes from my new book,
yes.
Cooking Wild. So we had venison and wild mushrooms and all of that.
Oh, what a treat for everybody.
Yeah,
I'm glad
good.
It was successful. It was well, about a year ago, I guess it was a year and 2 months ago, we had this gentleman on the show back in October 2015.
And we were waiting. It was just going to be a couple of months before the new restaurant opened.
Chef Kyle Connaughton, and he was anticipating opening Single Thread Restaurant in Healdsburg probably by March, April, May of 2016. Is that about right?
That's
when
right.
You told us?
Yeah.
And we had you on because you had just published your first cookbook,
yes.
Danab, the cooking of Japanese, what was the
yes.
name?
Yes, yeah. Donabe, classic and modern Japanese clay pot cooking.
And so we talked about the book, and that was a lot of fun, and then we're anticipating the restaurant opening within 4 or 6 months, but it took a little longer.
It did.
That everything does.
So why?
I mean, well, yeah, first of all, thanks for thank you for having me back. It's great to be back. I had so much fun last time we were here. I mean, really, it was a huge construction project. So, I mean, it was a brand new building that we finished building, and the restaurant and inn with 5 guest rooms and rooftop gardens and another building that we built out in the back, and of course building our 5-acre farm in the Alexander Valley right on the Russian River. So yeah, you know, construction as it takes, but you know, I have to say it was sort of painful, the delays for us, but it really allowed us to get deeper and deeper and deeper into the details and come together more as a team. The team that has been with us since the beginning. So, we definitely made the most out of the time.
Well, thank you for, extricating yourself from Healdsburg to come down to Santa Rosa.
So can you give us just a little bio? You've done some just fascinating things in the chef world in your life, in your young life so far.
Sure. I grew up cooking in Southern California for quite a few chefs who had come to Northern California and worked for Alice Waters and Jeremiah Towers and just some of the great Northern California chefs, and really brought that influence from up here down to Southern California and a lot of that ethos. Suzanne Goyen and opened Spago Beverly Hills and quite a few different restaurants with Mark Peel and Nancy Silverton and Campanile. And so they were all very influenced by what was happening up here. So that was kind of very early on for my wife and I, who've been together since we were 15 years old, to eventually be up here, up in wine country. And then and we moved to Japan. Actually, we're in Japan a few times, but we lived for 3.5 years in the North Island of Japan, Hokkaido, working for Michel Bra, which is a 3 Michelin star from the south of France, his second restaurant in a very remote area. And I worked for him for 3.5 years.
Is that
years.
In Hokkaido? Or was that...
In Hokkaido, uh-huh. Yes. Yeah, so kind of his restaurant in France is in Laguiole, which is a very remote area of France, and he opened his second restaurant in sort of the Laguiole of Japan up in Hokkaido. So worked for him for 3.5 years and also had a chance to work in quite a few more traditional Japanese restaurants, both in sushi and kaiseki cuisine, mm-hmm. traditional Japanese cuisine. And very happy living in Japan for many years. And then I met Hessen Blumenthal, who owns the Fat Duck in the UK, which is a very, very unique restaurant. And it was at a very unique time sort of in food, this sort of emerging world of what we called modernist cuisine. So the Fat Duck and El Bulli and a number of restaurants who were sort of leading this, really try to have this understanding of the underlying science behind cooking and how to best sort of leverage that. And so I came from Japan to the UK and ran the Fat Duck Experimental Kitchen and was the head chef of research and development, which is a very unique job in the restaurant world for a very unique place. At the time, Fat Duck was receiving its third Michelin star and best restaurant in the world, and we just had a lot of fun to developing and really pushing the boundaries of the sort of more of the multi-sensory aspects of the dining.
What I'm curious, what kinds of projects would you work on? Were these just things that would come to you, or you had a program in mind? That...
Well, you know, things sort of came together and dovetailed together, I think, in a really unique and interesting way. I mean, I think our interest and Heston's interest was really in more of the multi-sensory aspects of dining. So it wasn't just about food and just about service. There was more at play in the dining experience in any dining experience and about context and memories and nostalgia and how we could sort of use all of these tools. So most of the projects that I worked on were the development of dishes, which average development time to get a dish on the menu is between 12 to 18 months. So very sort of complex dishes that had a lot of storytelling. I worked on a dish for 18 months called mock turtle soup, which really followed both a historic Victorian recipe that was called mock turtle soup that had influence on the actual storytelling of Alice in Wonderland, where there was a character called the mock turtle. So we kind of wove all of these things that were happening in this sort of, you know, Victorian Saturday Night Live-esque kind of thing that's now kind of been lost because of course it's not current, but we kind of wove all this storytelling together in this historic dish, but made it very modern and made the Mad Hatter's tea party experience with a gold watch that melted into a consommé and just all these kinds of things with receiving a bookmark that had the pieces of the story from Alice in Wonderland as a sort of precursor to the dish to sort of immerse you into that. So there was a lot of this really fun, very very immersive sort of storytelling, or a dish called Sound of the Sea, where it was kind of an edible seascape where you had a shell that came to the table with headphones for an iPod that came out of the shell, and you got to listen to the sound of the sea while you were doing much different than what we're doing at Single Thread, but just a lot of fun. Yeah.
Well, it sounds like some of the phantasmagorical ideas and colors and sensory components of your research transcended into Single Thread.
Yeah, absolutely. We moved to Sonoma County now a number of years ago, kind of with this dream, and we wanted to be here. My wife runs our 5-acre farm, and she wanted to come to Sonoma County so we could farm and we could be part of this community. And we always just loved Sonoma County in that there was this real biodiversity here. Of course, the wine, and you have this history of incredible winemaking, and then you have this really dynamic spirit of these these up and coming winemakers who came to Sonoma to do something really unique and different, producers like Ceritas and Lioko and, these people that, that we loved. And there was a real harmony and balance between the sort of old guard and the sort of new and dynamic producers. But, you know, other farmers and makers and artisans and cheesemakers and, of course, the coast. And, you know, we just wanted to come and be a part of that.
Yeah.
Where did Single Thread as where did the genesis of that?
Sure. I mean, this vision has been something that my wife and I have been refining over really 2 decades of thinking about what we wanted to do eventually. We never had a name for it, what it was going to be. We always said, well, we'll wait to find the property and then we'll see what fits and what feels right. And so as we established what that property was going to be in that location, we kind of still didn't have a name quite picked out. And we were starting to present materials to our supporters, investors, and we were kind of explaining it, the short version of something that has a lot of pieces to it between the farm and the hospitality and all these the inn and these different experiences. And we just kind of simply said, there's going to be this one single thread that ties it all together. And that's the hospitality that we own. So that was the way we kind of found ourselves explaining how there was going to be this single thread that tied it together. And eventually we just said, okay, we are going to call it Single Thread. The farm will be Single Thread Farms. So,
and it's on North Street, with the side of the former post office.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
and the rooftop garden is beautiful. John and I had a chance to visit the restaurant.
It's a beautiful. If you look at the building, it doesn't look like it's a brand new building, which is part of its charm.
Good.
It looks like it's been
that was
there
the intent
since the since the beginning.
Yeah.
So you've been open for 1 week or so.
Yeah, we're a 1 week old. Yesterday, yeah.
And when is have you left Healdsburg in the past few weeks?
No, this is the first time. This is the first time I've driven a car in 3 weeks, and the first time I've left Healdsburg in a month. So,
well, thank you for gracing our KSRO kitchen today. Kyle Connaughton from Single Thread Farm in Healdsburg recently an opened restaurant, and probably the most talked about and written about restaurant, wouldn't you say, during the past previous year from all kinds of publications. And it's wonderful to have our neighbor joining us this morning. I'm Steve Garner along with Chef John Ash.
The Robert Davi Show, weeknights 6 to 9 on 1350 and FM 103.5 KSRO.
On approved credit, interest accrues from time of delivery on select models plus tax, title, and license. Expires 12/31/16.
Why are you dressed up like a dinosaur?
Everyone has a shtick for the year-end sale. I'm a Save-A-Lotosaurus. I'm here to tell everyone about the huge year-end savings at Jimbo Nissan of Santa Rosa.
Oh, you're talking about the month-long 2016 finale event.
Yes, we've got Jurassic deals on new Nissans, our best ones of all time. The best deals of history.
Yep, and this month only, folks can get 0% APR financing on new Nissans, plus zero down delivers. Buy a select new Nissan and make no payments for 90 days. That's zero payments for 90 days.
And like the dinosaurs, these deals won't last.
How about you give us your best dinosaur roar?
Ooh, how's that?
Whoa, that's dynamite. Folks, don't miss out the savings during the 2000 finale event going on right now, only at Jimbo Nissan of Santa Rosa. We're one block north of Costco on Santa Rosa Avenue, online at jimbonissan.com.
Happy happens here.
We all know it's bad for you. It makes you cough, and it damages your lungs. Breathing wood smoke is unhealthy. Please protect the air inside and outside your home, and rethink your wood fire this winter. If your home is smoking, it's time to quit. Smoke from wood-burning fires in our neighborhoods, combined with the cold air, make it harder for many people to breathe, especially when a winter spare the air alert is issued. Although many residents have made the commitment to reduce their wood burning or not burn wood at all, wood smoke remains the Bay Area's largest source of pollution in the wintertime, and a very preventable one. For more information and to sign up for winter Spare the Air alerts, visit sparetheair.org. That's sparetheair.org.
DJ Sash and Glass has been a proud family-owned and operated company since 1960. Located at 2985 Wilgen Court in Santa Rosa, DJ's is your full-service residential and commercial glass company, supplying one of the largest and most trusted names in windows and doors, Milgard. Milgard windows are custom-made to order and designed to make a statement in any home. DJ's is proud to now feature the Essence Series windows from Milgard. DJ's specializes in heavy custom shower doors, custom and standard shower and tub enclosures, mirrors, skylights, and garden windows, or a simple repair to your screens, fixing a broken window, or cutting a glass piece to any size. DJ's in-house installation crew has you covered from free in-home estimates to the completion of the job. Add a touch of class to your glass with the help of DJs. 2985 Wilgen Court. Call 546-7344 and online at djsglass.com. DJs, Sash and Glass.
News Talk 1350 and the new FM 103.5 KSRO.
A lot to cover with Chef Kyle Connaughton from Single Thread Farm in Healdsburg for what awaits folks that decide to partake of this new landmark destination restaurant. And we want to make sure that people understand that this is not a precious dining experience. It is an expensive dining experience, but it's not precious. And that's what so much impressed me with the restaurant was I felt very comfortable in the restaurant. I didn't feel like I had to understand the ingredients or terminology. I was just there to enjoy the food. And I think one of the most impressive things about the restaurant, and to tell you, is your staff. How welcoming how non-patronized I felt. It was as if I had known these servers for many, many years. And that's a real testament in a restaurant of this caliber and quality and expense.
We were saying before we came on the air, we were talking a little bit about that. And you made an interesting comment that your role in the restaurant, I mean, yes, you are the chef, but that actually you're spending your time really looking at the customer's experience. And so you dive pretty deeply into who they are and sure. why they're there and what you can do to really make the experience very special.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's great to hear that was your perception of your experience there. And thank you both of you for coming so early on and really even before we had officially opened our doors. So I'm glad you got to see it, you know, at the beginning, and love to have you back after, you know, we've been open for a while and see, you know, how things have evolved. But really the sort of intent with the restaurant for the design and the look and the feel and the sort of operationally for us was to create a space that felt like you were coming to our home. So rather than coming to a dining experience where you felt uneasy or that everyone was watching you or, you know, that, you know, you had to sit very straight or, you know, we wanted you to feel like you were coming to, you know, a dinner party at our home. So, and if you are staying overnight in one of the five suites, that you felt like after dinner you were just going up to our guest room in our home, and that everything about how you felt in the space and how you were treated in the space was as if you were a guest in our home. And so we made this completely open kitchen so guests can see in, we can see out, and we can just walk dishes out and talk to the table from the kitchen, just like you would if you were coming to a dinner party at our home and I was standing there in the kitchen cooking and you were sitting at the dining room table in the living room and I was kind of going back and forth. That was this type of feel that we wanted to have. And I thought, or, you know, my wife and I really thought that, you know, that was very consistent with Sonoma and just sort of the, I don't know, just kind of the ethos and the sort of lifestyle.
And
of
not Sonoma. Not formal. Not the...
Yeah, not too formal. And, stuffy. You know, I think, you know, going back to what we were saying about kind of the reasons why we came to Sonoma County is people who are doing things here, making things here, they take what they do very seriously and they're real craftsmen, but they don't take themselves too seriously. And they're, you know, that's part of what we loved about Sonoma County.
Talk about this micro winery that I noticed within the restaurant.
Yeah, that was something that Pete and Kathy Segacio had set up, and they had got a winery permit, and we absorbed that as part of the project. And it's tiny winery. Lisa has its own address, so it has its own door from the street, and it's a window from the dining room, so you can see in, and it's a concrete fermentation tank, which is, you know, a wine style that, you know, Sonoma's been really sort of leading the charge on. And so that has its own environment. You can see that from the restaurant. The idea is that each year we have a different Sonoma County winemaker who can do a very small production. It's just 450 gallons, so it's about 50 cases of wine. And to do something fun and different, and, you know, if they're a Chardonnay and Pinot producer, they, you know, try something different, do something different and experiment. And then they're the guest winemaker for that year.
That's really wild. Is it the smallest possibly bonded winery in the country?
That's right, yeah.
With that type of stuff. Yeah. Wasn't that amazing to walk by the window and see that?
Yeah, well, it's sort of that idea of the garagistas, you know, the people who make wine in their garage. Right. I mean, yours is kind of a fancier garage, but it's very cool.
So I brought my menu. Did you bring yours?
Oh, I didn't bring mine.
Well, let me pass mine over to you.
Yeah.
And would you just, what I thought was so exquisite was you are awarded the menu, after the completion of the meal, not before the meal or not during the meal. And at first that was unusual. I thought, well, wait, why am I not being given the menu of the night? And I was a little uneasy about that, thinking, well, what am I eating? Well, I got to figure this out. What is this? And then I relaxed after several courses and thought, let me just experience this evening, the surroundings, the textures, the nuance, the sounds of the restaurant, the hum of the restaurant. And I found myself enjoying the process a lot more. And then getting the menu afterwards, that was another level of excitement. I'm like, oh, I remember that dish. So that's what was in it.
To go back and recapture, because I think we talked about that a little bit. And one of the things so often is you'll go and you'll have these wonderful dishes, and then forget about them 2 weeks later. And so to make sure that you have this, it's, oh, I remember that. I want to, next time I go back, if it's on the menu, I want to have it, you know, that.
Yeah, there's a lot coming at you in an experience like this. And, you know, there's so many things to sort of look at and experience, and there's wine happening and all these different things.
So how many courses do you?
It's 11 courses in total. You know, really the reason why we don't do the menu at the beginning is, you know, sort of first and foremost, if you came to our house to dine, you came for a dinner party, we wouldn't be presenting you with the menu, right? But what we would be doing is we would be speaking with you beforehand to find out if you have any dietary restrictions or any allergies. You know, that would be a conversation we would have if you were coming to my home, so that I know how best to prepare the night. And if, you know, your partner or something, you know, doesn't eat seafood, and, you know, whatever it is that we can plan accordingly to make sure that it's like, someone doesn't feel excluded, or we did something different here for you that we're just enjoying a meal together. But the planning has been so that we're tailoring it. So we really extended that to the dining experience. So we have a conversation with our guests over email through the booking process to really gain sort of insight as to maybe something they're allergic to or have an aversion to, or preferences that they have. And we try to learn these things for them so that when they arrive, what they're having and what they're experiencing is really custom tailored to them individually, and not such a way to where, well, the three people at the table had this dish and you had this one because, well, you have this allergy, so this is something for you. So it's because sometimes those things can be, or if someone just doesn't like, you know, raw seafood or something like that, and maybe someone feels a little bit, I don't know, apprehensive, or doesn't want to call attention to themselves, or, you know, we just don't want anyone to feel like that at all. So we just cook based on what we know and even what we learned through the process of there, so that everyone just feels that they've been taken care of.
You know,
that's all that matters to us.
Again, we were talking before I came on the show, and I thought it was fascinating, and you'll correct me, I know, if I misquote you with this, but you were saying that you're so thorough in that what, when was it, last night or sometime recently, that 80% of the people in the dining room, there was some special either request or requirement or allergy or something that you had to.
Sure. Yeah, we had a night the other night where 80% of our tables had a really serious allergy: nuts, shellfish, finfish, dairy. And, you know, we take those things very seriously. And whether it's a real allergy or, you know, an aversion, it really doesn't matter to us. All that matters is that you feel happy and that you feel taken care of.
It's really tailor-making the dining experience. So the menu that you were presented at the end has something besides, of course, the dishes something that you can plant.
Yes.
Describe what's in that menu.
Sure. At the end of the evening, at the beginning of the evening when you arrive, my wife and the floral team, the farm team, have made individual sort of bouquets that are at your place setting that really show and represent, like many of the things at the restaurant, what's happening that day, that moment in Sonoma County. And then we take that. And then we cook your menu, and throughout the evening, the hospitality staff is checking in with me as to what each guest had individually. And then they go to their office while the guests are dining, and then they type each one of those guests' menus individually.
Oh.
And then we put that menu into a folder, into a box, and that contains a little thank you card and also a packet of seeds from our farm. And then we take that bouquet that they had at the beginning, and we tie that back to the menu. So, and then when each guest gets home, and at any time that they want to have a look at it, if it was a husband and wife dining and their menus were different, each one would have the menu that they actually had that evening with the wines that they drank maybe, and the seed packet is just a little something from our farm. So the menu is from the kitchen, and the seeds, are far from our farm. And right now we have a little packet of Japanese long scallions called Kujo Negi that we grow at the farm. So we always integrate a seed that you would have seen the fruit or vegetable throughout the day.
And it's beautiful because it's like an origami almost that opens up in the menu. And is that the logo of the restaurant, the allium itself?
It is. Yeah, we use the onion flower as our kind of logo, because it's everything that we do is very seasonal and very hyper-seasonal. But the one constant for us is the onion. So it's the one thing that we grow all year round. It's a very constant on our menu, and it's a constant on our farm. So
I've never heard of I've heard of micro seasonality, but you and Katina, your wife and gardener, have taken it to a different degree. Well,
I think your term hyper seasonality really is.
Sure.
So Japanese figures importantly in the menu. I don't know whether that's always true, but but because of the time you spent in Japan, and which has to be the best cuisine in the world, I think.
I think so.
So is that? Do people understand it? Because there are terms and there are ingredients that, especially the kinds of things that you're getting, that most people have never experienced before.
Yeah, we use quite a few Japanese ingredients, and we have brought a lot of seeds, and we get a lot of seeds from Japan. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, Sonoma County, there's so many amazing farms that are producing a lot of the fruits and vegetables that, you know, are sort of synonymous with Northern California. And we do grow some of those as well, but we like to focus on mainly on Japanese vegetables, particularly from the Kyoto area called Kyoyasai, Kyoto vegetables. So we grow a lot of those different types of colored carrots and eggplants and turnips and all kinds of different things. So that's a real sort of focus on the farm, and a sort of, I think, Japanese aesthetic and sensibility plays into a lot of what we do. I mean, we're in no way a Japanese restaurant. We're very much a Sonoma County restaurant, but I think sort of the flavor and the nuance and the balance and a lot of those things that I learned and we learned from many years in Japan definitely reflect. And so does the sense of hospitality, this Japanese omotenashi hospitality, as it's called in Japan, this sort of, you know, you alluded to a little bit about how the staff made you feel, you know, we really look for, you know, staff that has a real genuine sense of hospitality. And that's sort of, that's our biggest like hiring protocol, is that, you know, that, that same kind of sensibility plays quite a bit into the hospitality as well.
I know that you're recreating and planting as many vegetables as you can on the 5-acre farm to provide the restaurant. Mm-hmm. Do you bring in overnight fish from seafood from Japan?
We do sometimes. I mean, mostly we focus on seafood from what we call the North Coast. So, you know, anywhere from, you know, Marin, Sonoma, you know, all the way up the coast. We try to focus a lot on what's going on right here. So we use a lot of black cod, you know, Dungeness crab when it's in season, you know, wild salmon. That's, you know, those things are our focus.
Steelhead trout,
and then abalone from down in Monterey Bay. And that the real focus is what's happening here in California. We're always trying to represent today, this moment, you know, in Sonoma County and
including,
in Northern California.
Including sea urchin?
Which we do a lot of diving ourselves for sea urchin just north of Jenner.
You do? Oh, you dive?
It's kind of a big passion of a lot of the culinary team. So on their very limited time off, you'll find a lot of them out diving. And but, you know, sometimes here and there, if we can get something special from Japan, well, you know.
Because
we'll
we had a yellowtail tuna
the
night we were there that I believe was just overnighted.
I think you had the one from Channel Islands.
Yes, from Channel Islands.
Yeah, so just down like Santa Barbara
that kind of area. That was maybe the best piece of fish I've ever eaten in my life. Spectacular. We're at the bottom of the hour. We'll take a break and be back with Chef Kyle Connaughton from Single Thread Farm in Healdsburg. Just opened 1 week. And we have him fresh from the latest
going on. Seasonal.
It's seasonal. I'm Steve Gardner along with Chef John Ash in the kitchen.
Hello, Sonoma County. I'm Kevin Durant, and this is the home of Golden State Warriors play-by-play. 1350 and FM 103.5 KSRO.
Go Local makes it so easy to find locally owned businesses. All you have to do is just look for the blue and white circle that says Go Local.
Sonoma Land Trust, your local land trust, is celebrating its 40th anniversary. Its founders were extraordinary, passionate individuals who loved Sonoma County's beautiful landscapes and appreciated why it is so vital to protect land for future generations and for clean water, fresh air, and wildlife. On this 40th anniversary, we thank them for their vision and service, and thank you as well, because the next 40 years depend on you. Please visit the website at sonomalandtrust.org and make a donation today to protect the land forever.
Why not support Go Local organizations? Supporting Go Local organizations creates a more vibrant and healthy community.
Fantastic.
Mmm.
Terrific.
Excellent.
Tantalizing.
Best ever.
Amazing.
Delicious.
Incredible.
Delightful.
Wonderful.
Delectable.
Scrumptious.
Simply awesome.
Not just a description, but an experience. La Vera Pizza is a culmination of culinary delight that you'll never forget. Tempt yourself with a taste of La Vera Pizza's artisan pizzas, like our Spicy Spesto, Mushroom Mania, or national award-winning pizza, The Prima. And you'll also love La Vera Pizza's exquisite entrees, like our luscious lasagna, captivating calzone, and our ravishing ravioli. Old world taste brought to a new level of description. La Vera Pizza.
Positively palate-provocative perfection.
Find out for yourself at La Vera Pizza in downtown Santa Rosa. Open every day. Call 575-1113. La Vera Pizza.
Beyond description.
Downtown is bustling this season. Start your holiday shopping and dining downtown. It's the heartbeat of Santa Rosa. There are so many unique shops and delectable restaurants, it will make your shopping so much more enjoyable. Be sure to visit businesses you're not familiar with, as well as your favorites.
Hi, my name's Tamara, manager for BB's Burger Bar, located off 3rd Street. We welcome you to come join us, take a break from your holiday shopping. Although it's a little cold outside, our patio is still open. We have patio heaters to keep you toasty warm, an awesome selection of burgers, also milkshakes for the kiddos, as it's always about the people you meet and the burgers you eat. Come join us at BB's. We look forward to seeing you soon.
And BB's Burger Bar is among the merchants who will validate your parking. It's their gift to you. There's nothing like holiday shopping downtown, the heartbeat of Santa Rosa. Paid for by the Chamber of Commerce, the Downtown Merchants Association, and the City of Santa Rosa.
The transition meetings continue at Trump Tower. The president-elect meeting today with ExxonMobil CEO Rex Tillerson, who has emerged as a leading candidate for Secretary of State. Mr. Trump will attend today's Army-Navy game with former New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani, who yesterday removed his name from consideration. The Trump transition brushing off a report that the CIA concluded Russia intentionally interfered with the presidential election to help Mr. Trump win.
What's new here is that the world of information, the information society that gives us things like social media, that gives us the ability to hack computers and reveal information that may be embarrassing. That's what's new here.
ABC News contributor and former Deputy Assistant Secretary of State Colonel Steve Gagnard. 200 U.S. Special Forces are heading to Syria to help in the fight against ISIS. A runoff election is underway today in Louisiana for a U.S. Senate seat. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Sonoma County's most accurate, dependable forecast with KSRO's Daniel Trucios.
Cloudy today with a little rain, high 59, 57 degrees on the coast. Overcast tonight, low 45 inland and on the shores. A few clouds for Sunday at 57, 55 in Bodega Bay. Monday's mostly cloudy at 56, 55 on the coastline. Depend on weather every 30 minutes on News Talk 1350 and the new FM 103.5 KSRO.
In the Chaos Arnold Kitchen, I'm Steve Garner, along with Chef John Ash. The first kind of debriefing with Chef Kyle Connaughton since his restaurant Single Thread opened a week ago, and he journeyed out from Healdsburg first time in about a month to come down to Santa right. Rosa and share so, the excitement of the
so
opening.
So you were telling us about the physical plant is such a lovely, beautiful, unusual kind of place, and tell us a little bit about how it evolved, and I mean, you put a lot of thought into it.
Yeah, we had the time to really put a lot of deep thought in there, and then to sort of realize those the sort of intent, and not have to have too many things where we said, well, we'll get to that later. And we worked with a great design firm called Avrico, who I was very close with, and really I think understood Katina and I, my wife and I. And what we wanted to do, and we kind of it was a pretty tall order of saying, you know, this is, we want this to feel like a very refined dining experience, but at the same time, this is, you're coming to our home and you're coming to a dinner party in our home. You know, there's a Japanese aesthetic and sensibility, but it's not a Japanese restaurant. We're a farm, but this isn't, you know, you don't want to feel like you're coming into something agricultural. So, you know, I think it was a quite tall order. And then there was a lot that we wanted to have kind of even on a deeper level in terms of almost mathematically, the whole restaurant is based off of the golden ratio, and the Fibonacci sequence is sort of repeated and everything. And so each piece is calculated in that way.
Can you give us just a brief for those who don't know what that is? What is that?
The golden ratio is, as it's been called, is really, generally how nature sort of builds itself. And it's sort of, very often when they show the overlay of the sort of math and nature, we'll show the shape of the nautilus of the shell and how nature always builds itself in a very specific and a very efficient way. And architects and designers have taken that for many, many years going way back. It's why the Parthenon can stand without any columns running through the center. And so it's been used in art and architecture and design. And it's how sort of we as humans learn a lot about those kinds of things from nature. And so that's sort of factored into visually and aesthetically, and also just sort of the distance of everything from each other is all based off of one mathematical sequence.
Remarkable. Art Culinaire is a magnificent more than a magazine, isn't it? What would you call it? It's not quite a book. It's not quite a magazine. It's a journal.
Quarterly journal that's just celebrated its 30th year.
And we had the pleasure of having Lars Ristel on the show about a month and a half ago for the debut of the 30th anniversary Art Culinaire. And featured one of the restaurants is your restaurant, Single Thread. And there's a beautiful, talk about a fold-out, mm-hmm. of what the dining guests will experience when they come to Single Thread. You mentioned, I did not know this, it's the first fold-out that they've done in 30 years.
That's right. Yeah.
And describe what we're looking at in the Art Culinaire.
Sure. Our first course, when guests come down from the rooftop garden experience into the restaurant, we have this sort of thing laid out, which is really to, it's generally between 9 and 11 different small bites that really represent today, that moment, here in Sonoma County, and a really sort of sense of the feeling of what a fleeting moment, time is, within a season. And so, it's sort of, you kind of sit down to it. We make it out of pieces of wood with moss, from the farm, and our floral team, arranges it with sort of beautiful flowers. And then we lay out all of these different small bites, and some are individual and some are meant to share. And it's really designed to kind of give you this sort of immediate sense of what tonight's experience is about, and that the experience is meant to be one of fun and discovery. And also, there's a communal nature to it. So if you're dining companions, and say maybe you're dining with someone who you've their partner of someone you know, you've meeting for the first time, and you're sort of working through a little bit of the sort of social, anxiety that someone may have at the beginning of a dining experience, it's really meant to bring people together around something communal where they kind of go on this like adult Easter egg hunt, going through and discovering the things. For me, hopefully it really sets the tone for what the evening is, and really helps to kind of smooth out the dynamics at the table so that people can really, really begin to enjoy their evening.
It felt like entering an enchanted miniaturized redwood forest for me, because
it reminded me, because I've spent a fair amount of time in Japan over the years, and it reminded me of many of the kind of kaiseki, these multi-course meals. And there was always that sense of discovery with those two. You'd get something and it was like, well, what is this? And then you'd lift a leaf up and it's like, oh, there's something underneath here that you didn't see immediately.
It's definitely been very sort of informed by the Japanese kaiseki menu, the traditional Japanese sort of tasty menu. In particular, a course that's called hasun, which is always either 5, 7, or 9 small individual bites that really give it a sense of this is today, this is this moment, yesterday was different, tomorrow will be different. And we really want to give this sense of, these experiences in life is a very fleeting moment, and it changes, very rapidly. There's a saying in Japanese, which is Ichigo Ichie, which means roughly kind of translates to one chance, one encounter, which just really means that when something's happening and you're sort of in that moment, that moment cannot be replicated. I mean, you can come back to the restaurant, of course, many times, but each time the moment is different. It's a different experience.
This is Art Culinaire. We're referring to the beautiful 8 or 10 recipes that you included in here with full color pictures, the 30th anniversary one. If you've not experienced Art Culinaire, this would be the addition, I think, to start with.
And they're right here in Sonoma County.
Yeah.
They're here in Healdsburg.
For people who are real, you know, who really care about food and really want to see it at its most beautiful, this is a great Christmas gift for someone.
Very good idea. Yeah. We'll be back with Chef Kyle Connaughton, owner, chef of Single Thread Farm in Healdsburg, California, just recently opened restaurant a week ago. I'm Steve Garner, along with Chef John Ash in the KSRO kitchen.
Golden State Warriors play-by-play is sponsored in part by Hansel BMW on 1350 and FM 103.5 KSRO.
This holiday season, haul your gifts in a brand new sleigh. Twin Pine Casino and Hotel is gifting two lucky winners a brand new Toyota Tacoma 4x4 during our holiday truckathon and $100,000 giveaway. These high-powered trucks are bound to make Santa jealous. But to win, you need to play. Earn chances on your favorite games in our spacious casino. Then head to Twin Pine for the grand prize drawing on Saturday, December 31st. The keys to a brand new Tacoma might just end up in your pocket. And because we're Twin Pine Casino, we believe the more the merrier. So every Saturday through 2016, we're giving away shares of $100,000. Take a break to relax at Twin Pine Casino with our monthly wine pairing dinners featuring some of the best wines in the valley. Enjoy chef-prepared meals at Manzanita Restaurant and relax in our gold medal accommodations. There's always a good time to be had at Twin Pine Casino, home of the Millionaires Club, 15 miles north of Calistoga on Highway 29. Twin Pine Casino and Hotel, the only place to play and stay in wine country.
The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market won the Best Sonoma County Farmers Market Award by the Press Democrats Reader's Choice. To find out why, shop the market for your holiday feasts. Enjoy selections of fresh and organic greens, mushrooms, carrots, potatoes, turnips, Brussels sprouts, and winter squash, along with seasonal pomegranates, persimmons, apples, and walnuts. Meet the local ranchers who offer a variety of quality meats from beef, chicken, and pork to quail and rabbit. Choose fresh fish and crab from a variety of seafood vendors and sample local dairy products. Everything you need to create the freshest holiday dinners is at the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market. Remember to check out the creations of the many talented artisans for holiday gift giving. Open year-round Wednesdays and Saturdays, 8:30 till 1 p.m. at the Luther Burbank Center for the Arts. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's always fresh, local, and fun.
And now, insurance-minded speeches from GEICO.
Let's talk about power. To illustrate this, allow me to tell you a story about how I moved a tow truck 25 miles using only my index finger. I was stranded with a flat tire. I opened the GEICO app. Then, with a few taps of my finger, I beckoned emergency roadside assistance and a tow truck to my car. I invite you all to unleash the full potential of your fingertips with the GEICO app. Thank you.
Identity theft is more than credit fraud. It's when someone opens new accounts, files fake tax returns, or does any number of bad things in your name. LifeLock can help. With proprietary technology that alerts you to a huge range of identity threats. And while no one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, if you have a problem, we have a team of U.S.-based specialists who work to fix it. Join and get 60 days risk-free plus 15% off. Visit LifeLock.com and use promo code SALE15. That's promo code SALE15. Offer ends December 31st.
Sonoma County's News Talk 1350 and the new FM 103.5 KSRO.
It's KSRO, and it is the Good Food Hour with Steve Garner along with Chef John Ash and special guest Kyle. Well, every guest is special, aren't they?
That's right.
Kyle Connaughton.
That's what we say in the restaurant.
Since we've been talking about hospitality.
Yeah. Yeah. Truly, the chef owner along with his wife, Katina, of Single Thread Farms in Healdsburg recently opened about 1 week ago, along with their five-acre farm where a lot of the produce is going to be grown and is being grown at this point. So after 1 week, you don't look shell-shocked, and maybe it's because of a year in prep and also weeks and months of experimentation and going through these dishes meticulously. Has it been as smooth as you appear to be this morning?
You know, honestly, it really has. I mean, of course, we're all about details, so we see a million details that we want to work on and improve upon, but we're just very, very happy and pleased of where we are. And I think the biggest compliment that we've been receiving from people, especially people, you know, like yourself, John, who really know the industry and know the ins and outs of the sort of restaurant world, to say, this doesn't feel like a restaurant that's only been open for 2 days or 3 days or 7 days. And that that everyone feels, you know, very comfortable in what they're doing. And for all the preparation and training, everything like that, there just comes a day in all of it where you just have to do it, you know, and you just have to start. And even from, you know, from day one, it felt really good and it felt right.
We want to talk just briefly about a wonderful documentary done by Morgan Spurlock, who did what, Supersize Me?
Yeah.
See the documentarian called Crafted. And you and part of your RD pilot group were part of the funding and of this documentary.
We co-produced myself and the development team. I have three development partners in something called Pilot, which is a culinary research and development sort of a very small firm, kind of boutique firm. But we do some media projects, and so we collaborated with Morgan and his team to really create a short film. It's only 28 minutes long, but it really sort of explores the modern artisan and what it means to be an artisan. And I think that's a word that gets used quite a bit. You know, something is artisanal, or this person is an artisan, and, you know, craftsman is. And what does that mean? And in particular, what does that mean in the world of food? You know, what is artisanal? In it, we wanted to explore basically three different artisans, kind of in three vignettes to sort of all tie that together. So we went together to Japan to see the family in a very rural area called Iga that make Japanese clay pots called donabe that we work with quite a bit, and that I worked with for 3 years on a book about them and about what that is that they make. And so we went to see their world, eighth generation master potters, doing something not because. They're beautiful, but they're very functional and they cook beautifully. And then we saw some artisan knife makers, hand forged knife makers called Bloodroot Blades in Athens, Georgia. And then we also looked at some chefs, Nick Burns and Courtney at Nick Bala and Courtney Burns at Bar Tartine down in San Francisco, who now just opening Mozze. Chefs who really make everything from scratch, whether it's cheese or yogurt or kefir or kombucha. They're really about they don't buy things, they make things, and that's a real movement, I think, in food right now.
And you can watch that if you're an Amazon Prime member for free.
That's
right. Called Crafted, Crafted. I was really taken with the knife maker guys down in Georgia, and you serve those knives use those knives at the restaurant.
That's right. Yeah, we collected wood from our farm and from the Sonoma Coast, and then we sent them that wood, and then they forged the knives that we use for our main course out of that wood. So each knife is different, each handle is different. They use the sway bar from a 1968 Volkswagen and some pieces of old clarinet brass in the knives, and they forge these beautiful knives. It's based off a Japanese cooking knife shape, but just smaller for you to use with your main course.
It gave me an appreciation of expanding the definition of artisan to mean repurposing what's in your environment to make something beautiful that is discarded.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was a beautiful part of the movie. So thanks for making that, because it was a really fun to watch.
So we have to ask. So if someone wants to go to the restaurant, how do they do that?
So we take our bookings through our website onto a platform that's called Talk, which was founded by the owners of Alinea and Next, two great restaurants, arguably Alinea's best restaurant in America, who wanted to create a different and sort of better restaurant booking system. And so really they did it based off of tickets. So rather than booking a reservation, you're really actually purchasing a ticket to an experience, which is you know, very much what we are. And so through our website, you go to this talk platform and you select, just like you would on a normal reservation, the night you'd like to dine, the number of guests, and at that time we begin to gather information about whether you like a wine pairing or some information about you, dietary, and then you check out and essentially you purchase that experience as a ticket. And what that allows you to do then as part of our hospitality is that when you come and dine, unless you're buying additional wines, but when you come to dine, that's already taken care of and paid for. So just like if you were coming to our home for a dinner party, at the end of the night, you get up and you leave, or you get up and you go to one of our guest rooms. And so, we kind of take the bill paying part mm-hmm. out of the equation during the dining experience. Mm-hmm. And we sort of front load that while you're on your own time, so that when you can come, you can just come and enjoy.
Okay. Because tax and tip are included. It's all inclusive.
Yeah. We do service charge. Tax and it's all, that's all inclusive.
He makes it easy.
It does make it easy, but it's also it makes it civil, you know, because there's this whole thing, and for anybody who's had anything ever to do with the restaurant business, it's too bad in America, at least, that this grubbing for tips, I guess, is the down and dirty way that sure. I would say it. And it's fine because a lot of people who are waiters, that's how they live, you know, because they
absolutely,
they're
of
not
course.
Paid a lot. So it becomes a very important thing, and sometimes it can take over.
Yeah, and you know, then there's a lot to do at the table about, you know, splitting checks and doing all those kinds of things. And I think, you know, the potential for things to be uncomfortable for the staff or for the guests, you know, it's there, and we want to take that out of the equation. And I think it's definitely a shift in way people think about a dining experience, to say, you know, we're used to buying tickets for a concert or, you know, the symphony or a sporting event. You know, a dining experience, a 3.5-4-hour dining experience is not unlike those things. Of course, the food is there, but it's an experience. So you're buying a ticket to that experience, which is transferable, just like those other tickets are. Then when you come, that's all sort of sorted out. And then our staff does not have to work in a way that the feeling is that their end goal is to, you know, what that gratuity is going to be. And it allows us to treat them as the professionals that they are, because we have a service charge, and that is going to our staff and their wages. And we pay 100% of healthcare for all of our staff, all of our employees, which is unusual for the restaurant business. And so these are professionals at the highest level of their you know, of their craft and of their industry, and we just wanted to treat them as such.
That's a beautifully way to close up the chat this morning. Thank you for coming in today.
Yeah, my pleasure.
It's Single Thread Farm. Do experience it if you're able to. Bring guests, bring family. It will certainly, I think, change your idea about what fine dining can be. If you've done it. So thanks for being
you.
In our
very happy to be here
lovely Sonoma County community. Yeah. Next week we have Cal Pedernell coming up to visit us. You know Chef Cal Pedernell from Chez Panisse? Yeah. Wonderful gentleman. Yeah. He's got a couple cookbooks out, and he's a lovely man. So he'll be sitting with us next week. And then the 24th, we welcome the author of the new book, Butter, The History of Butter. One of our favorite.
It's a wonderful book.
And one of our favorite six-letter words. How many? coming up next, Clark Wolf will be at the table for your enjoyment. I'm Steve Garner along with Chef John Ash. Join us next week for Garden Talk and the Good Food Hour.